going to be, Jim.
All right. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and 6. The book of Hebrews is a fantastic book. And we're in some really good places tonight. Brother David, did you like it last week? This was good. All right. Get your book of Hebrews over there, Brett. They're right up there, one of them blue ones. All right. Carice. Day. Come on, Pistios. Adunaton. Urares. Restisai. Pistiuse. Gar. Day. Tone. Procircumenon. Tol. Theu. Hote. Esten. Kai. Tois. Ek Zetusen. Aton. Miss. Tha podetes. Genete. All right, let's go back here and look at this now. 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and 6. All right.
Here comes our little buddy from Friends. She's here.
Yeah. Here comes Rebecca. All right. Hebrews 11 and 6. Hebrews 11 and 6. Have you got an in-linear, Rebecca? There's probably an extra one over there if you want.
I'll check. I know I have one at home. I don't know.
Okay, we've got one here. Would you get her one, Brett? Is that all right? You know where they are, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. But we start off with a weak adversity conjunction, don't we? Even though it's the second one in the book. You need to learn to start waiting on ladies. You're going to get married one of these days.
Yeah.
All right. But outside of faith, charis, outside of, all right, that's an adverb, page 444, where you look that one up. Outside or without, apart from faith, not able. It's basically what it means, not able. Adunaton there, that means impossible. It's impossible to be well-pleasing or to please or to believe it is binding necessary to the one approaching to the God. Okay? Rebecca, I have got an Amplified Bible here. I think I've got it opened up to the right place. I'm going to have you read that a little bit. You and Randall, he's got his Amplified Bible. And so I'll have you read that in a moment. Well pleasing, it says, to the God, because he is, to the one seeking out him, the wage payer or rewarder, he becomes. All right? Romans 1 and 10, Galatians 1 and 10, Romans 8 and 8. These are all cross-references to this. Do you want to read that 8 and, or 11 and 6 for me, Rebecca?
Can I read what's in the parentheses too?
Everything, yeah. Yeah, all of it.
But without faith it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out.
All right. Let's look at this. Outside of faith, it is impossible to believe God, to please God. Ephesians 2 and 8 says what? Anybody remember what Ephesians 2 and 8 says? For in grace, ye are having been saved. I'm telling you from Greek, okay? For in grace, ye are having been saved. What? Through faith. All right, through faith. We're saved through faith or by faith. We're actually saved in faith. We're immersed in faith. We're saved in faith. That's how we're saved. Now, We don't know how things go from day to day, do we? God is omniscient, and he's all knowing. But we just wander and flop around through life. Have you ever seen one of those signs going down the road, a fish out of water, like somebody having an asthma attack? I've had an asthma attack a couple of times. I've seen my wife have them. I've seen my daughter have them. And it's pretty miserable. But in this world, we're like that almost all the time. Some of us go through a whole lot more trials and tribulations than others do. Some of us have a steady diet of tribulation. Okay? I mean, that's our everyday life. And somebody just walks through life like and never have an obstacle. Period.
All right. Bad luck.
Yeah. Outside of faith, it is impossible to be pleasing to God, for it's bindingly necessary for us to believe when we approach to God. Because He is. We have to believe that He is. And to the one seeking Him out, look at that word, seeking Him out, exetuson, dative plural masculine, present participle active. That means once you start seeking God, you just keep on doing it. It's something you do. That's a habit, isn't it? The wage payer, He rewards us. He rewards us. What kind of things do we have in life that give us trouble? What gives you trouble? There's two things that give you trouble in this
money
life.
And love.
What?
Money and love.
Love can kill you, brother. I'm telling you.
Child support comes to my mind.
Money and love are the two ones that will do you up. They beat you up, man.
People, you can get hurt in love. All right, but there's two basic survival things. You got to make enough money to live, put a roof over your head, and you got to be well enough to do it. Now, if you lose your health and you lose your ability to earn wages, you're in real bad shape. Your wife's going to leave you, so forget that. I mean, she's gone already, okay? Or he's gone, whatever, you know. I mean, that just forget that business. Love's good. Your heart's going to get broke. But health. Now let's say, look. Think about health for a while.
What I know about it.
Huh?
Show you what I know about it.
The master of all consequences, huh? We go through life. I have lived a charmed life. I think I've had angels busy almost all of my life. I've lived dangerously the first part of my life because I didn't have any better sense, I think. Just doing dangerous things, you know. I mean, pretty stupid thing. And then sometimes people get you in trouble.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and sometimes you don't know how to get out of it. Sometimes you don't know how to get out. Just think about the Apostle Paul for a while. Think about the Apostle Paul. Think about his love life. He was on the Sanhedrin court. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the elite of all the Pharisees. He was a judge in the Sanhedrin court. Okay? And he made his life's job going out and killing Christians. Until the Lord took care of him. Stopped him, struck him blind on the road to Damascus. He was going down there to kill church members and tear up churches until the Lord stopped him. What happened to his love life after? You know, I want to explain something to you. The Apostle Paul was married. He had a wife and he had children. Okay? First of all, to be a Pharisee, you had to be married. And you had to have children. To be on the Sanhedrin court, you had to be married and you had to have children. So two things that he had to be married and had to have children. History tells us that Paul was married. When he became saved, his wife wouldn't have anything to do with him from there on. That's the end of him. And his children disowned him. They took out and had a mock burial for him and buried him. And were completely... They washed their hands of the Apostle Paul. That's the end of it. Okay? He never, as far as I know, and history says, he didn't have any more contact with his family whatsoever. Okay? By faith. At times, you know, one time there was a people that made a pact that they wouldn't eat or drink until they killed the Apostle Paul. You know, one time he was shipwrecked out there in the ocean in a horrible wind, and everybody thought they were lost, and he stood up, "Hey guys, everything's going to be all right. We're going to have a shipwreck all right, but we're going to be saved. Not one of us is going to be lost." He gets over there and gets shipwrecked on the island, and then what happens to Paul? They build a fire to dry out, and what happens to Paul? A snake's come out of the whip pile and bit him on the arm, a poisonous snake. Well, it didn't bother him because God was protecting him all the time. Protecting him all the time. Have you ever been through anything like that? Have you ever had anybody plot to kill you?
My mother-in-law.
Really? Yeah.
I'm serious.
I was going to pick up Dakota one day from school out there in Taft, and I saw this guy out there that I knew, and he came up to me and he said, "Jim, your ex-wife and a bunch of people are plotting to kill you tonight. They're going to kill you. They're planning on shooting you. Get that girl and get out of here." They were going to do it. A sheriff officer was involved in it. He was going to shoot me because I was armed. I went and got my kid and run off down the road, and I called my lawyer and I told him I'm coming. And they were chasing me all the way from there. I had to get out of that jurisdiction, see, because I figured I was dead out there. So I ran over here and I ran down to my lawyer's office and I told him, I said, "I don't know what's going on, but I said they're going to arrest me and they're going to shoot me." That's what I heard. I said, "There's got to be a cop coming." He said, "Go back there and get in the bank vault and I'll lock the door on you and Dakota." He did. He put me in the bank vault and locked the door. He was out there fighting with the sheriff and everything else. Oh yeah, they were going to arrest me and they were going to shoot me for resisting arrest. Well, you know what? That woman had all kinds of plans. She had all kinds of people behind it. There was a lawyer behind it. There was a sheriff's officer behind this kind of stuff. I mean, there was a probation officer that was backing her. All of them had committed crimes, and so they were protecting her to protect themselves. Shaky situation here. And here I am, just some dumb Indian,
dirty fool, man,
trying to serve the Lord. We went through this for years, all kinds of skullduggery and death threats. She tried to have another guy kill us, didn't she, Marilyn?
Yeah.
We found out about that.
They even told us today.
Even the day that they were going to kill us. This is real. You know, have you ever had anybody plan your demise?
Jim, you need to smile a little bit.
Plan your demise? And here I am all the time. I'm trying to serve the Lord. I'm coming here every Wednesday night and preaching. And preaching God's Word all this time. And I'm crying. I'm going on breaking to God to protect my daughter. And doing everything I can to protect myself. You know what? I won the battle before it was even started. You know why? Now, I don't know that in the middle of the battle. When you're out there fighting a war, you don't know whether you're going to win or not. The Lord does. But you know what? I have taught 14 years since then. Never missed a stroke. Even cancer hit me. And all this kind of stuff. But God protected me. And all of this stuff right now, I mean, here I got a tumor in my throat and maybe have cancer. I had the worst cancer cell you could possibly have 7 years ago. You couldn't get a worse one. It kills fast like that. And they told me the cell. He said, and we didn't get it all either. He said it was outside. But he said, you know what? You know what my doctor, my Muslim doctor said to me? He said, my Muslim doc, he called me professor. He said, don't worry, professor. God loves you. Your God loves you. He told me this. Your God loves you. I know He loves you. When I went in there when they was going to operate on me, I was preaching to them Muslims when they put me out. Yeah. Well, I was, wasn't I, Mary? Yeah. Yeah, I was there. I was talking to them a little bit until I couldn't talk anymore.
not that you were.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know why God left me here. You know, the Apostle Paul finally got beheaded. I finally am going to croak one of these days. I'm going to croak if the Lord doesn't come back in the meanwhile. But you know what? I'm going to be doing what I'm doing until that happens, because I have to hand it to you guys to take on the ball. And this website where this stuff goes out, it goes out. Brother Randall, he spends a lot of time doing that. A lot of time. He's busy, but he does put that stuff out there. People write from all over the world that are blessed by you guys. And you guys make the class. You make the class. And girls, you make it. You're the one. You do it. They ask about you, don't ask about me. Want to know how Bill is, or Brett, or Rebecca, or something. Enoch. We're going to get into Enoch here. We're going to get into Noah. Let's go look at them now, 11 and 7. Piste. Kremotiste. Noah. All right, that's it's almost here like it is in Hebrew. All right. This is what it looks like in Hebrew, like that. Okay. And here, we have it here in Greek. All right. And in Hebrew, it starts off with this na. Say na. Naha. This is like you're coughing. Dakota's been doing a lot of that lately. Naha. That's it. Naha. All right. Got to come from your throat. Throat. Okay. That's what it is. Naha. All right. In faith, having been warned. Look at that word. Krametastes. All right. Pere. Tone. Metapo. Blepomeno. Yelabethes. Kateste kuasin. Kibaton. Ace. Soterion. Tu. Oiku. Autu. D. Ace. Karakrinane. Tone. Cosmon. Kai. Tase. Kara. Piston. Dikaiosunes. Aganito. Kleronomos. Good words. Good words. Let's look at them. All right. In faith, having been warned. All right. Having been warned. First there is participle passive. Noah has having been warned. Kremotiste. An old word. It's an old word. Kremotizo. That's an old word that means to, by divine oracle communication, God warns somebody divinely. It's a divine warning. Okay? In faith, there was a divine warning that warned Noah concerning the things, all right, not yet being seen, all right, having been devout, all right, eulabethes. That word, things not having been seen yet. And then this word eulabethes. It comes from eulabeomai. And that means to take hold of carefully. And it means that means to handle yourself carefully before God, but to take hold of what He says carefully and firmly. He believed and he took hold of what God said and ran with it. He prepared, keep a tone, an ark, a box. Ace, soterion. That little, look at that word ace there. Extension, limitation, thought, or relation. That little old preposition, page 119, where it is in the analytical Greek lexicon. Extension of thought or verbal action. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Unto the salvation. Now, it was going to rain, wasn't it? Had they ever seen it rain on the earth before? Nope. All right. Had they ever seen the oceans in the sky? The oceans were in the sky at one time, you know, around this earth. There was an ocean in the air. A complete ocean, completely like a bubble around this earth, above the atmosphere. They looked up there, and that's what protected the earth. In the days of Noah, before the flood, way back over yonder, over here, how long were people living over here? Long time. Most of them lived over 900 years. Over 9 centuries. Can you imagine how much trouble you could get in 900 years, Bill?
I can live 2 hours.
Brett, just think of how many women's hearts you could break in 900 years. How many hearts, how many times your heart could be broke in 900 years?
How many degrees did you have over there?
What?
How many degrees did you have over there?
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you this. When I graduated from seminary with 2 doctorates, I was ignorant compared to what I am today. Now, I had a lot more brains then. But I have never... I went to college for 12 years. And I applied myself. I have 219 unit hours of credit. It only takes 185 for a doctorate. I had 219. All right? I doubled, and most of it was A's. All the time. But I have learned more since then. That was in 1980. How many years is between now and 1980? 29 years. I have studied for 29 more years. I studied 12 years then. I have studied 29 more years since then. Now, that's almost 3 times as much. Together. All together.
So you should have 4 doctors.
You were 960 years old.
Boy, I tell you what. I wish I had a brain like I had 10 years ago. It would be wonderful.
No Social Security, no retirement.
I have to study real hard to teach these classes now. But just think about it for a while. Just think about it. Not seeing these things, it says that he was devout. He handled carefully. He latched on to what God revealed to him. He latched on to it.
He believed it.
He believed it. When I learned that the Bible was written in Greek and Hebrew, I set out to learn those languages because I wanted to find out what it says. And my whole ministry has been based upon the Bible languages, what the inspired Word of God says. Everything else is a translation, people. We get to go look at the real thing, what God inspired it. That's beautiful to me. That's exciting. Eulabase, that's only used 1 time in the New Testament. Okay, 1 time. That's except in Acts 23 and 10 in Textus Receptus, which I don't accept too much. So it's used 1 time in the New Testament, okay? And then he prepared the ark unto salvation. If he had not prepared that ark, everybody would have drowned. He could have believed that God all he wanted to, but if he didn't put a little boot leather and a little bit of sweat and blood into it, he wouldn't have done anything, would it? There's all kinds of different... I just translated the book of Genesis, and again, every time I do it, I learn something else. But you know that he had 3 sons. I don't know whether them boys helped him very much on this thing. You think about that, Bill? I don't know how much them boys did. It doesn't say much about them.
Somebody had to make a living while they were doing it and bought the material.
Why? The ground just grew. It was good. And going out and chopping the trees down and making lumber for this thing, that thing was about 450 feet long, wasn't it? He made it probably with pegs. I'm not sure they had metal back then. They may have used some copper and brass. I don't know. I don't know whether they've ever brought any of the ark to where it was fitted. It was fitted together like fine furniture. And then it had glue put on it, which you call what? Basically tar. It was covered with tar. And it was made out of gopher wood, okay, which is kind of a resistant wood. Anyway, he built this thing. And I have read in some places that his children were, one authority says that his children was born 100 years apart. He was 600 years old when the flood came upon the earth, wasn't he? And how excited about this boat his boys were, I don't know.
If God give them faith.
But you know what? Noah did it, didn't he? Regardless of everybody in the world, Noah got the job done. Okay? That's what we're supposed to do, is do a job. And you know what you're supposed to do, Brother Brett?
Believe it.
You're supposed to do exactly what God wants you to do in your life. Figure it out and then do it.
You know, Noah's Ark just happened to do the Titanic.
Yeah.
Two questions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Number one is I've read it, I've studied it, and now I'm getting into the apocrypha, and I've been keeping on my mind. Because of the size and the mass of this, I know the Bible doesn't say it, but do you think that there was, somehow my mind says that there should have been other people involved in building that, that maybe were on the ark? Do you think so or not?
Well, no. The Bible plainly says that Noah and his three sons, Noah's wife and their wives, are the only ones that got on the ark. Now, God called the animals. Now, I don't think they had to get a whole lot of food for the animals. They were on the ark for quite a while, but God can hibernate. Animals hibernate. Okay, He could have put them in a hibernation mode. That wouldn't be no problem. The Lord is the one that called them on there. He didn't have to go get them. He called them. God selected all of them. He selected every one of them. And, of course, there were seven pairs. There were 14 clean animals. And
why did he pick Noah?
What?
How did he pick Noah?
Because he wanted to.
He must have been real faithful.
It said, God knows certain things, doesn't he?
He's an alcoholic.
Well, he became one. I don't think there was any alcohol before the flood. I don't think it fermented before the flood. Did you know that? Most people think that in this capsulated world here, that when he put grape juice and skins, that it didn't ferment before. But after the climate change, we had tremendous climate change here. You know what? One of the things that they figured out right now, and the scientists, true science always agrees with the Bible. Three different sets of scientists figured out that at one time, 75,000 years ago, at one instant, in that 75,000 years ago, something happened to the earth. They have got it. Three different scientists realized that there was something happened that was a tremendous explosion on this earth. Why, back here, we know,
they call it the Gamble explosion.
Yeah. Something happened to this earth 75,000 years ago, and the earth went into an ice age because there was so much explosion. Genesis, the first chapter, tells you about this. We don't know how long ago God created the earth. Okay? And God inhabited the earth, he says. He created earth, inhabited. And then something happened to it in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Satan destroyed it. If in fact 75,000 years ago Satan destroyed the earth and told it, well, the Bible says what? Back in Genesis there, can you go back there?
God made the earth void and without form?
No, He didn't make it that way. It became formless and void.
Yeah.
God made it perfect and it became form. In Genesis, the first chapter and just the first few verses there, Rebecca. Well, that one, yours is fine. What translation is that? Okay, well, let's just see what it says there.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void.
Okay, now, it says in the original language, the earth, she became formless and void. He completely finished the earth. The earth was finished. That's perfect tense. Bara is. And it's finished. It's perfect tense. It's finished. He didn't begin to create the earth. The rabbinical idea that God created chaos, because that came from the Babylonian idea of creation. Okay, we're studying that on Sunday morning. We're seeing these films, and this rabbi is telling us about all of this stuff. Okay, and so we're we're getting to see it, but he's given us the rabbinical idea of creation, which is the Babylonian idea of creation that they picked up while they were in Babylon. Okay? But we're refuting it as we go. Go on now. The earth, she became formless and void, and what?
And darkness was on the face of the earth.
Darkness became over the face of the earth, over the faces, El Panay Tahom, the faces of the deep. All right? Darkness became over it. They said when whatever this 75,000 years ago, the whole earth became dark. What does it say happened there?
And the Spirit of God was hovering over the...
Okay, and Spirit God. Now the rabbis will say a wind from God blew over the earth. But that's not what that says. It says Ruach Elohim, Spirit God, was suffering over, mourning over the faces of the deep. Okay, that's what it says. But that's what happened. Now, if all of this took place back then, this is back yonder. Now, just think about the earth now. God created the earth. Satan destroyed the earth. God reconstructed the earth there in Genesis. He builds the earth back up. Then he puts man over the earth. Man sins. And then, because of man, the earth is cursed with weeds and all this kind of stuff. Then he goes out. And now we got the earth is populated with a bunch of rascals. And we find out that God calls out one man and said, I'm going to destroy the earth. Okay? But before he called that man out, what happened for 300 years? What he had a preacher for 300 years. There was a guy, Enoch, preached for 300 years. What was Enoch preaching?
That the world would be the end.
Okay, go to Jude now. Go to the book of Jude. Jude 5 through 16. Jude 5 through 16. Okay? Brother Randall, are you over there anywhere?
Now, I desire to remind you, even though you have been fully informed of these facts once for all, that Jesus, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt later, destroyed those who did not believe. You also know that the angels who did not keep within their proper domain.
Now he goes back to Egypt and he tells a story about unbelievers in Egypt. Okay? That some of them that went out of Egypt, he had to destroy them. Now he finds out, he talks about the creation way back in eternity past. He said some of the angels did what?
Who did not keep within their proper domain, but abandoned their own place of residence. Kept in eternal chains in utter darkness, locked up for the judgment of the great day.
Scotia Sophon is the word there. Deep, thick, pea soup darkness.
So also Sodom and Gomorrah.
Okay, now we've talked about Egypt, the children of Israel. Some of them came out. God had to destroy them because they were non-believers. Then he talks about what else?
Angels.
Some of them didn't believe. Some of them rebelled. Now he's talking about what?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sodom. All right. Sodom and Gomorrah.
And the neighboring towns.
And the five cities.
Since they indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire in a way similar to those angels, are now displayed as an example by suffering the punishment of eternal fire.
Okay, now what happened there in the book of Judges? What happened when the sons of Benjamin acted like the Sodomites? The other Jews killed almost all of them. There was only 600 left. And they swore they wouldn't give them daughters, well, any of their own children, out of their own daughters, so they went out and captured some women and gave to them. So they wouldn't, the tribe wouldn't cease to exist. But they act like Sodom and Gomorrah did. They were a bunch of Sodomites. Okay? So now we got all kinds of examples now. Keep on going, brother.
Yet these men, as a result of their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and insult the glorious ones. But even when Michael, the archangel, was arguing with the devil and debating with him concerning Moses' body, he did not dare to bring a slanderous judgment, but said, "May the Lord rebuke you."
Jehovah rebukes you. Okay? Here we have got a lot of stories, just one piled on top of another as examples, huh? as examples, one example after another. Go on, brother.
But these men do not understand the things they slander, and they are being destroyed by the very things that, like irrational animals, they instinctively comprehend. Woe to them, for they have traveled down Cain's path.
Now we got an example of Cain. That's one of Adam's boys.
Forgotten.
Yeah.
And because of greed, have abandoned themselves to Balaam's error.
All right, Balaam preaching for money.
Hence they will certainly perish in Korah's rebellion.
Boy, look at all the examples that he gave.
And Balaam too, huh?
Yeah, Balaam, Korah, look at all the time that he's going through. This is going across this whole chart. Okay, brother.
These men are dangerous risks at your love feast.
They are like hidden shoals under the water that destroys your boat and sinks you and kills you out there. You run up on a false island out there in the ocean and it sinks you right out in the middle of the Atlantic or something.
Feasting without reverence, feeding only themselves, they are waterless clouds carried along by the winds, autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, uprooted.
This is Jim, right?
This is, boy, listen to this, old boy. This is Jesus' half-brother preaching now.
Wild sea waves spewing out the foam of their shame, wayward stars for whom the utter depths of darkness.
That's the Amplified Bible, isn't it? No, it's not. What is it?
Been reserved.
Okay.
Net Bible.
Okay. Oh, okay. Sounds like the Amplified. Go ahead now.
Now, Enoch.
There we go. Now we're into Enoch now. We're back from the seventh from Adam now.
The seventh in descent, beginning with Adam, even prophesied of them, saying, look, the Lord is coming with thousands and thousands of His holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict every person of all their thoroughly ungodly deeds that they have committed, and of all the harsh words and that ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. These people are grumblers and fault finders who go wherever their desire leads them, and they give bombastic speeches, enchanting folks for their own gain.
All right. Okay, that's it. That's good. Now, the first 10 from Adam are Adam, Zeth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, seventh from Adam, Methuselah was his boy, Lamech was his boy, and then Lamech's boy was Noah. All right? So Methuselah was, and Enoch was, basically, Enoch was Noah's great-great-grandfather. Okay? That's who he was. You have to realize that he was back there, and he did not live to see all this, but he preached and said the judgment was coming, that the flood was coming on earth. If you've read the book of Enoch, I don't know how much of it is inspired or not, but I mean it's full of God lambasting these ungodly people and telling them that he was going to bring destruction upon the earth. They didn't listen for 300 years that he preached. How long did Noah preach? He preached all the time he's building an ark. How long did it take him to build the ark? 120 years. 120 years. Okay. So we got 420 years of preaching taking place here. All right. They didn't hear. How many people got saved?
Nobody.
Eight plus Enoch. All right. Eight of them. Now, Enoch, we have the one called teacher. Then he had Methuselah, and he named his boy. What did Enoch name his boy?
When time shall come to pass.
When he is dead, it shall come to pass. The son of the dart. All right? And then he named his son Lamech, which means king of kings, or king of kings. And then we have Noah. What does Noah mean? Peace and safety. Peace. Safety. That's what Noah means. So we have Noah, peace and safety. And in Noah, those that listened to Noah in that ark had peace and safety and rest. If you didn't, they had death. As simple as that. An ark for the salvation. Okay? Now, did the water save the people or kill them? Well, it killed them. Well, did the water save those in the ark?
Yeah.
It lifted them up. The water lifted them up because they were in the ark, which is a type of Christ. Okay? Now, just think about this one for a while now. Okay? Those out there in the world trusting in salvation through baptism, what's water going to do for them? Those that are trusting for baptism for salvation, what's it going to do for them? It's going to kill them. It's going to destroy them. Because they're not in Christ. They're in baptism. They're going to get immersed in flood. You got to be in the ark before you get the water come. You got to be in Christ. Okay? Of the household of Him. All right? All right? Having carefully received the message, He prepared an ark for the salvation of the house, oiko, of Him, through which He condemned, katakrino, down judged, katakrino, third person singular, first aorist, indicative active, He down judged the cosmos. That's the whole universe, not just the inhabitants of the gay. All right? Not just the inhabitants of the gay, the earth, the arits. Not just the earth. Gay doesn't mean queers, okay? This is earth, all right?
Gay is earth, not queer.
Yeah, that's right. Earth, all right? Gay, the earth. Not just the earth, not just the earth, but the whole cosmos. Who did it? By building that ark, who else, besides all the people on earth, who else did Noah condemn? All the angels that disobeyed God. The whole cosmos. All of the spirits that went the wrong way, that would not listen, that would not handle themselves carefully, eulabes. That's the word back over here, eulabethes. They did not handle themselves carefully and fearfully before God. What is the beginning of all knowledge?
The fear of God.
The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge, okay? All right. Get A plus, then.
A plus.
All right. Brother Brill.
Jim, that the reason God destroyed the whole earth with water and everybody except Adam is because Enoch preached that the devil and his cohorts come down and mingled with women, and maybe God was getting rid of the impurities.
Well, if God had not judged, man would have killed man. Now, this is according to the book of Enoch. Let me tell you what's going on. You see the horror stories? What's some of these, Dakota, what are some of these weird movies coming out where people eating each other and doing all kinds of stuff to each other? Vampires, all this, what?
I just saw them like that.
You saw one like that?
Yeah, these few ones in this hotel in Mexico, and they went crazy, and they started eating like dead humans.
Some of these Nephilim, according to the book of Enoch, some of these Nephilim were very large, very big. And you have to remember, back over here before the flood, nobody was allowed to eat any kind of flesh. If a man killed a lamb and wanted to eat it, what was the penalty if you killed a lamb?
Exactly.
It was a death penalty. You couldn't kill an animal over there before the flood. You killed an animal before the flood, and it was death penalty. You could not shed an animal's blood. You shed its blood, you're responsible for it. Your blood was to be shed for the animal's blood. A lot of people don't want to listen to that today, but that's the absolute truth. That's the Bible. Huh?
Animals have more rights than we do.
That's what happened. God gave them rights over there. They were companions. They were not to eat. Okay? But the book of Enoch says that these Nephilim were killing and eating and absolutely depopulating the earth of animal life. Did you know that? Did you read that? They were depopulating the earth of the animal. They were eating and gorging and drinking their blood like vampires. Okay? Now, not only that, but they were running out of animal flesh and they began to be cannibals. They began to eat humans. This sounds like the horror stories in the movies today, doesn't it? That this is what was going on back then according to Enoch. All right? Killing and eating and ravaging, and they weren't given animal flesh to eat at all, but they were eating animal flesh and human flesh and drinking their blood. Like vampires, okay?
Like Red Dawn.
Whatever. See, I don't watch those movies. Dakota watches some of those movies. I guess you watch it. Does that boy of yours watch those movies?
Yeah, I think he does.
Okay. All right. Genesis 6 and 9, Jude 5 through 16. False religion was alive in the day of Noah. It was. False religion was alive back over here in eternity past. When Satan said, "You come and worship me and I'll overcome God." And a third of the angels and spirits went with him, didn't they? But God was still God. You know, I don't understand everything about Satan. I just know he's been real close to me all my life. Right behind me somewhere. Shadowing me.
Pushing me.
Working me over all the time. That's right. And the Lord's been protecting me. I'll tell you what, I should have been dead 1,000 times. Yep. And I'll croak one of these days, but I'm going to give it my best before I go. False religion has been alive and well for a long time. Back in eternity past, it was there. Yep. It has been in the world. When the Lord founds a religion or a faith, the devil always duplicates it and turns it into something twisted, perverted. All right? It says, "For the salvation of the house of him through which he condemned the whole cosmos, and of the according to faith righteousness, he became." All right.
See now.
Rebecca.
See now a moment.
Yeah, Rebecca. I can't remember names anymore. Would you read number 11 and 7 for me in that Amplified Bible?
Prompted by faith, Noah, forewarned of God concerning events of which as yet there were no visible signs, took heed and diligently and reverently constructed and prepared an ark for the deliverance of his own family. By this, his faith which relied on God, he cast judgment and sentence on the world's unbelief and became an heir and possessor of righteousness. That relation of being right into which God puts the person who has faith.
All right. And he did it. He condemned the world with his righteousness. By his acts of faith, he condemned the world. All right. If you just get a knife out, Brett, and cut its head off, it'll be a lot quicker and easier and quieter.
I don't know how you do that.
I can do that. I'll show you one of these days. Dakota, have you ever seen me cut a fly's head off? Marilyn?
Yes.
I went in a fine restaurant one time. They flies flying all around there. I poked my pocket knife out there and I chopped the fly's head off just like that. And Meryl says, "Don't do that in here." And I said, "Well, they shouldn't have flies in here."
I see you do it.
Did you see me do that before?
Yeah.
Piste.
Piste.
Columinos.
Columinos.
Abram.
Abram.
Hippocuason. All right. X L thing. Ace. Topone. Hone. Amelin. Lambane. Ace. Cleronomion. Chi. X L thing. May. Epistaminos. Pu. Erkite. Now let's look at this word here. These few words here for a few more moments. In faith, columinos, being called, all right, in faith. I want you to think about all of these in the locative, not in the dative. But not by faith, but submerged in faith, okay? Immersed in faith. Being called, nominee, singular, masculine, present, participle, passive. Being called, Abram. All right, what's Abram mean? Abram. Huh?
Father of multitude.
Exalted father. Abram means exalted father. Okay? Abba is father. Abram is the exalted father, lifted up father. He obeyed. Hipekusen. He obeyed. That means he underheard. That means underhear. What do you do when you underhear something? You obey the words when you underhear it. You obey. Okay? Underhear it. He obeyed. Third person singular. First aorist. Indicative active. Exalting. To go out unto the place. Topon. Topography comes from that word right there. Which he kept on being about to go to receive for inheritance. He kept on going out. Now, Abraham lived in one of the most populated, fancy, civilized places in the world, and God calls him to go to a place that he never seen it before, never even heard of it. It's hundreds of miles away. For an inheritance. And then it says that he went out, third person singular, second person, digging back. It took him a while to leave. Okay? And remember, this place had some of the biggest libraries in it, educational facilities, great schools, plenty of food, all this kind of stuff. And Abraham's going to walk off and leave all of that? His birthplace? And go to some place that he has never seen and hadn't even heard about? Not understanding. May, particle of negation. Epistaminos. He can't put his mind on. He has no idea. He didn't have AAA to give him maps how to even get there. Nothing. He had no idea what it looked like. He didn't know what it looked like. He had no idea. He didn't have a picture of it. God just says, go and I will give it to you. All right. Now, this rabbi that we have on television, now he's going to tell you all about this kind of stuff and how all kinds of excuses why he got over there and left the land. But the simple story is that Abraham, hipoakuo, he underheard, he obeyed, he listened, and he obeyed the voice of God. Not understanding, not able to put together where he even went. And how did he travel? Do you remember the movie I put up here? I was going to put it on tonight, the movie Grass. That's how those people traveled back then. I mean, they traveled, and it was hard. He went across rivers. He went across mountains. He went through snow. He went through ice, and he went through blazing deserts. But he just kept on walking and pitching tents all the way. All right? 11 and verse 9. Piste. Parokason. Ace, gain, tais, epangelios, hos, alutrion, in, skenes, katokesos, meta, isek, kai, Jacob, ton, sig kleronomion, tais, upon Galeas, taste, outtaste. In faith, submerged in faith, he pilgrimed. Third person singular, first aorist, indicative active. I tell you what, he pilgrimed all of his life, Bill. That man never had a house to live in again. He never lived in a house again. He became a nomad. He became like American Indian. You know, that's why we lived over here. We were nomads. You know what I found out with my DNA? That I'm from a bunch of nomads. Bunch of Arabs and bunch of Indians. Isn't that something? Bunch of nomads. In faith, he nomaded. In faith, he just traveled. In a land of the promise. He kept on going toward it, but never receiving it, as alotrion. Alotrion, you know what that means? It means something belonging to somebody else. He wandered throughout all of its land, and he was in somebody else's house, in somebody else's property, in somebody else's pasture. You know the only thing that Abraham ever owned in this world? Huh? He had a lot of cattle. He was rich as far as cattle goes. The only thing that Abraham ever owned. What was the only piece of property he ever owned?
A grave.
All he ever owned was a grave. He's still there.
That's all you and I are going to own in the end.
That's it. That's all we're going to have is a grave. And they may not even bury us. They may smoke us.
It doesn't bother me. I won't be there anyway.
The first thing my wife did within 2 weeks of getting married to that woman, she went out and bought a casket for me. Picked out a casket and a plot of ground where to bury me. Started paying on my funeral service and doubled my insurance within 2 weeks. And then came home and wanted me to come in. I was out busy working in the yard trying to straighten up the mess. And she said, come here, I got something to show you. I go in there, she said, I've doubled your insurance. Okay, that's okay. If I died, that's okay. It went from 20,000 to 50,000. And then she said, I went down and bought you a casket. Do you like it? Here's a picture of it. And over here, and this is the headstone. And here is the grave. If you die, you still ain't going to get away from me. That's what she was saying.
Boy, I wouldn't worry.
I'm gonna, you know what? I said if it was anybody else, and I preached over there. Did any of you went over there to that Fairfax Southern Baptist Church? Didn't you follow me over there when I preached? There was a guy right there that sold that to her. And he sat there shaking his head. When I said that, he was sitting there shaking his head because that's the man she bought all that from. He was the guy that she signed the papers on and brought them to my house. Well, I'm going to end up with what Abraham ended up with, nothing but a grave. He nor his family ever had the land, his immediate child. They never had it. For hundreds and thousands of years, they have handed down the promise. That's what they handed out, the promise. They lived in twins, having dwelt with Isaac and Jacob and the co-heirs of the promise, the same promise. Have you got that there, Rebecca? Could you read that for me? 11 and verse 9.
Prompted by faith, he dwelt as a temporary resident in the land which was designated in the promise of God, though he was as a stranger. In a strange country, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, following our fellow heirs with him of the same promise.
That's right. That's all they have is a promise. You know, Israel even has possession of the city of Jerusalem, but they don't have it. They don't have it. They don't have it. When they have it, watch out, because that's when the Antichrist is coming. Thank you for your attention. I hope you enjoyed God's Word tonight. I hope there was something in there that was good for you. And we'll go on from here next week. 11 and verse 10 is where we'll start. Good to have you back in the class, Rebecca. And let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to turn you loose on the world. Go out and do something eternal. Rebecca, I'm so glad to have you here. Would you lead us in prayer as we go out?
Yes. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this.